Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
When you're down and troubled.
We're back. It's 12 after.
And you need a helping.
It's always good to have friends, folks, and one of my friends is a guy named Michael Harrison, and Michael is our guest this half hour. Michael is the publisher of an outstanding publication called Talkers Magazine, which is a talk radio industry magazine. It's a premier publication of the talk radio industry. He is definitely one of the movers and shakers, perhaps the mover and shaker in the talk radio industry, and he's our good friend. Michael, welcome back.
It's great to be here, Jim. Thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure to have you back. Michael, there was a time when... when you lived in a town or a city, that the media companies, the television, the radio, and the newspaper papers in your community, belonged to local people, and they focused on local issues, and they a lot of times they used local talent to deliver the content in those various outlets. And that was a nice little trip down memory lane, wasn't it, Michael?
Unfortunately, it is a trip down memory lane. Basically, newspapers, radio, and television has evolved over the years from being a highly government-regulated, locally-owned mom-and-pop business to being a loosely regulated, big corporate industry. This has been the evolution of radio and television and newspapers during our lifetimes, with various legislative or FCC rulings along the way that have each been watersheds and milestones in that evolution. And I know the listeners to your radio program, who are obviously very astute people, know that on June 2nd, the FCC just made another ruling by a very close vote of 3-2, to further deregulate media in this country so that this march toward consolidation could take yet another giant leap forward. And it'll give the big mega corporations that are owning more and more of the media outlets in this country the opportunity to have cross-ownership of basically a television station and a newspaper in the same local market. And that's basically where it's at.
And, of course, this all began, I think you may have mentioned, with the Telecom Act of 96, which Al Gore likes to claim responsibility for, I guess, along with the Internet. But Michael, in your view, is deregulation, you know, I am a free market guy. I believe in the free market economy, but in your view, is the deregulation of the media industry a good thing? Netted out, is it a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, ultimately, it's an unfortunate thing. It's not a total bad thing, because in many cases it's inevitable and a sign of the times. However, it's an unfortunate thing, and I think that we often, those of us that analyze business, often mistake healthy government regulation and healthy legislation for government over-regulation. And a free market economy is wonderful unless forces within that economy take away freedom from other forces. That's why we have government. That's why we have regulation. Otherwise, you know, the ultimate economy would be the law of the jungle. I think people have to be moderate in their view of the idea that, you know, all regulation is bad.
And I hear you. And I know that some of my really hardcore free marketer friends, you know, they get a little irritated at me because I guess maybe I'm not as 100% free market in all causes. I don't always feel that way. But Michael, the thing that concerns me is that what we're moving toward is where you've got half a dozen people in the country basically deciding 70% of the content you and I get in newspapers and on television and on radio.
And that's why I say it's unfortunate.
Are we headed toward that, or are we already there?
Well, we're heading toward it, but fortunately, even the most powerful, you know, mega corporation kingpins can't control the bigger marketplace, and that is the Internet, that is satellite transmission, publishing. People are able to publish with more access to printing presses and electronic publishing. All kinds of new technology. You're seeing people sending photos and moving images via telephone to each other. The fact of the matter is that as what we consider the mass media, radio, television, newspapers, to become increasingly corporatized by fewer owners, which is an unfortunate thing, as I said, the good news is that small independent voices have other means of getting around it. And again, back to the free market concept, there'll always be a market for new ideas, for independent voices. So what I think this is going to cause, ultimately, is the expansion of media and people, entrepreneurs, small companies, finding new ways of reaching the masses because of the technology that is also on the march. So in the short term, it's terrible because it's true. I think three companies own about half of the media in this country, and it's getting worse. It stifles creativity and different voices. It stands in the way of localism. It's creating a homogenized media. It's creating a media that doesn't have pride of operation, but rather is totally oriented toward making money for the stockholders. Thus, cutbacks in product have absolutely no conscience whatsoever unless they're pragmatic and profitable. And this is not a good thing. However, I'm not that pessimistic in terms of the long term.
Well, isn't it? It is very fortunate, as you mentioned, that the technology has come along at the time that it has. And this is totally coincidental, isn't it? I mean, there's nothing connected with the advent of technology and the advent of deregulation. I mean, they're totally parallel universes.
I think they are separate, and I think it's coincidental. However, one of the justifications being given by the people in government and people in business who are for consolidation is that it's because of the advent of technology that big business has to have the freedom to be able to merge and acquire at will to offset the competition being created by these additional technology. So even though it might be coincidental, Jim, they claim that that's part of the reason.
Well, but that's I see what you mean.
That's a matter of fact, that's one of the foundations of the justification for it. They say that the old rules were based on the days when there was limited access to media. There were only a handful of radio or TV stations in every city. Yeah. There weren't that many newspapers and magazines. Had to be regulated because it was so easy to make a monopoly.
Stand by, Michael. Folks, when we come back, I'm going to ask Michael, when will the antitrust laws kick in on all this? Right after these messages, 20 after. Thank you for joining us. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Back, it's 23 after. Having a great visit with our friend Michael Harrison, the publisher of Talkers Magazine. And as many of you know, if you heard me say before, Talkers Magazine is a premier publication of the talk radio industry. And I'm a happy subscriber to their publication. And but your publication is not typically for public consumption, is it,
Not at all.
Michael, it's a trade magazine.
I'm not here for that. I'm not here to sell it. Most people would not find it that interesting.
Well, no, I disagree with you on that, Michael. I think a lot of people would, and maybe you ought to think about putting it on the newsstands.
No, if we did that, then we could no longer. No, just to answer that quickly, if we started to cater to the fans of radio and television, we couldn't cater to the insiders on a business level. We know who our market is, and we super serve them.
That's a really important point, isn't it, Michael?
Absolutely.
You just taught us a lesson there. We all have to pay attention to who we're here to serve, don't we?
Exactly, and that's also part of today's media. There are so many more niche markets available, and I think really the key to most business today is to find a niche and super serve it, as opposed to trying to be all things to all people, which is the weakness that the consolidators face.
That's right.
That's the weakness, not just in media, but in all business.
Don't you think that ultimately the homogenization of the mass media is going to get to the point where it'll actually become its own downfall?
Yes, and it'll be the reason for the need by the consolidators and the alternative media that it spawns for creative new voices and new programs. The very blanding out of media will create the marketplace for exciting independent media. I'm very optimistic in that regard. You mentioned earlier before the break that you wanted to talk about antitrust laws.
Yes. That's, at what point in time, I mean, at some point in time, those the antitrust laws have got to kick in here, haven't
they? The only time they'll kick in is when the public complains enough to Congress and to the executive branch and to all the branches of government, when public awareness is at a level that they have a complaint. Otherwise, this whole deregulation has been inspired by government. In cahoots with big business.
Let's talk about the economics of operating a media company. You know, to me, the very first newspaper, local newspaper, that ever sold to a big newspaper, a larger newspaper paper organization, did so probably for one reason, economics, and probably one of the big reasons was because of the increase in prices for newsprint.
Yeah, it cost a fortune to run a newspaper, and it costs a fortune to run a radio or television station. And unfortunately, for many complex economic reasons that we don't have time to go into, it's become over the years increasingly difficult for a small family or an independent operator to make a living and keep a business in the black in small media. Consolidation, and again, this is one of the upsides, consolidation has kept many radio and television stations and newspapers that otherwise might have gone out of business, kept them in business because of the economics of scale.
Well, and it's created wealth for those owners. I mean, some of those, a lot of those companies who, those families who sold their businesses, sold them and made a nice little profit.
Oh, that's right.
And good for them. That's the American way.
Exactly. And isn't that also, if you study the history of capitalism, industries go through those cycles?
Yes, they do.
And so, and so that's really, you know, what's happening in this industry. And also, the radio, and that's where our primary focus, is no longer the same cultural animal it was when we were growing up. If they went back to the old days, mom-and-pop radio stations and local disc jockeys, I don't know whether or not the public and the kids, because it really started with our generation when we were kids, I don't know if they'd be there to support it.
You may be right.
So it's a complicated topic, and I'm glad to have the opportunity on a program such as this to explain it, you know, without emotion and without accusation. You hear a lot of people going, oh, it's the end of America, it's the end, you know. There's nothing new here in terms of cycles. And we're going into modern times. I mean, that's a cliche.
Yeah.
But the fact is, things are changing, and change is the only thing that really is constant. I sound like a book of cliches.
No, but you're right. You're exactly right. And one of the things that I remind my folks about is we got to realize that we're not in Kansas anymore. This is the 21st century, and there are a lot of new things out there. But now the exciting thing, though, Michael, is the fact that we do have plenty of opportunity to go around the big consolidators, and not only in media, but in other industries. I point out as often as I can to small businesses that we don't have to fear the big box companies. You said it a minute ago. Super serve your niche. Find the place that you do, that you can dominate. Find the little bitty niche that you can dominate and serve it very well.
Exactly. And also, one other point, you can sell to the consolidators.
Yes.
Where are they going to get new programming and ideas from independents? I'd much rather have 50 to 100 customers to sell to than two or three, but they still are in the market for things. And that's another point that's often lost. You can sell the big companies your ideas and your products. They do have vendors. Mm-hmm. They do have independent contractors. They have to.
Well, you're exactly right. And Michael, I've got about 30 seconds. What do you think this is going to look like 5 years from now? What do you think the media industry is going to look like 5 years from now?
I think there'll be broadened media, where a lot of these things that are on the horizon, internet, satellite radio, electronic publishing, phone-to-phone video, I think all of this will become far more commonplace.
Yeah, I agree with you. Michael, very interesting discussion today. Thank you very much for bringing this perspective to us, and we'll see you next time.
You got it.
Michael Harrison, ladies and gentlemen, the publisher of Talkers Magazine. He'll be back. 29 after. Quick break, right back with Hamilton Beasley. This show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.